opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the host and are not representative of their employers, spouses, or associates. If you haven't gathered from the title, the language used on the show is akin to that of a high school boys' locker room. Listener discretion is advised.
The advice given in this podcast is worth what you pay for it, which is nothing.
Ginger
over there.
Fuck you.
Hello, everybody.
And I'm doing it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of the Effed Up Farming Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of the Effed Up Farming Podcast. My name is Tyler, and across from me, this uncouth bastard in the crow's nest is named Royce O'Neill. And tonight, I want to tell you about some wonderful people that we have as sponsors. We've got the Cliffs Farm. We've got Mo Cattle Company. We have Meat Club Lambs and Texas Beverage and Package. Please go and support these fine businesses as heartily as they have supported us. Royce, do you think that you're able to speak now and be a little couth, have some manners? You can speak now.
Well, that's awful nice of you, Tyler. Thank you.
I thought it was nice to let you talk.
In my own house.
I'm running the board, bitch. Okay, so speaking of wonderful sponsors and Texas Beverage and Package, let's get into this week's booze review.
We got the last of our budget bourbons tonight, or the last of this series of them.
Yeah, it's not like these are the only four cheap bourbons that a person can go out there and get. So what we have is Jim Beam Black Extra Aged Bourbon. 43% alcohol by volume. That is 86 proof for anybody from Oklahoma listening.
Does it say how long it was aged to be extra aged?
You know, if you'll give me a second. I'm looking at that. It does say it's the world's highest rated bourbon.
Okay.
It's from Frankfort, Kentucky.
Highest rated bourbon.
Yeah. Drinksmart.com. Doesn't say how long it's aged. It's just extra aged. Might be an extra day. Might be an extra week. Might be 2-3 years. I don't know. But they discovered the smooth caramel and warm oak notes of this premium extra aged bourbon, a full-bodied character that's definitely worth the wait. Are you okay over there?
No.
You're rubbing your forehead like my wife does at times.
Huh. I wonder what the cause of that is.
I don't know. Hurricane's not here, so that puts to bed a theory that I've been working towards. No cork. This is a screw top, as you get in the
Jim Beam world.
The Jim Beam world.
Or the budget world. Although we've had several corks in this budget series.
Has there been a screw top?
Well, obviously there's been one.
Before this.
Doesn't that Evan Williams?
No, but that wasn't in the budget bourbons.
But it could have been, because it was a... definitely a budget bottle.
Dude, that's like a $10 fifth. And I think it should be beating everything so far that we've tried. Except for maybe the old granddad. It was in Kentucky.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it would qualify as one of these bourbons.
Very oaky right off the nose with hints of onion. Never mind, that's just my mustache.
I was going to say, I'm getting nail polish remover, but...
I had hamburgers for lunch, for supper.
With onions, apparently.
And jalapenos. How the fuck do you eat your hamburgers? Very oaky. You get a little bit of that ethanolish scent.
You get some of the caramel there on the back.
I would go very, very sweet. Kind of burns the eyes. Super sweet. Super watery.
Yeah, it's not oily at all.
I mean, it's 86 proof, so there's not going to be a lot to that.
That's true.
Very spicy. Like cinnamony, spicy, mm-hmm. clovey, mm-hmm. apple pie spice.
Not as bad as the, what was that bottle we drank with Tommy?
Couldn't tell you.
Kentucky 10.
Nope. Swing and a miss.
No, the Kentucky 10 was decent. It was one of the wild turkeys.
I don't know.
But yeah, I'm not really picking up a whole lot of that caramel. You get some of the sweet, but not a very caramel.
I get a lot of sweet. I get a lot of spice. And like I said, it's awful thin.
Mm-hmm.
Awful thin.
Sugar, spice, and a few things that are nice. I got a little vanilla on the back of my tongue in that sip.
After we, you know, it's got ice. A nice warming effect. It's maybe a touch abrasive, but not that bad.
It's not smooth, but I wouldn't call it rough.
You know, it's right there in the Jim Beam, mm-hmm. Realm of possibilities. Not bad, certainly.
No.
Nothing spectacular. If you're looking for something that is very low proof, if you hate the burn, you like a thinner, I don't get a lot of back end off that.
You're not getting much back end. I'm going to say if you hate the burn, this probably isn't the one for you because it does have a little bit of a burn to it there at the end. It's got more burn to it than I feel like something that's only 87% alcohol should have.
You know, you might be right there. I don't know.
Not that it's off-putting.
No. No, it's certainly not like what we were drinking earlier today.
That wasn't off-putting either. That was delightful.
No, but it had some...
It did have a kick to it.
Had some heat. Hung around a little bit. I like this.
I'm not against it.
If you're you know, in the bargain category, I think this would be certainly an option.
I feel like this is another very good starter bourbon. For somebody trying to kind of dip their toes into the bourbon market, not sure if they're going to like it or not. This one isn't super complex again, but you get some of the classic bourbon flavors. You get a little bit of that oak, a little sweet.
Okay. Well, I'll take it. It's sweet. Not a lot of depth of flavor, and it's...
I mean, you're not going to just sit there and pick it apart. Or you are going to pick it apart.
Well, it's going to be hard to really like pick up on a lot because I just don't think there's a lot to it. And yeah. Also, I'm a touch surprised on the palate about the lack of oak. I really expected more oak on that.
When you brag about oak, you should bring the oak.
That would be my main complaint about this bourbon.
I can see that.
Is that, you know, it's extra aged and it's got a dark color to it. It's not
a very nice color.
It's not as oaky as I kind of expected it to be.
All right, so what are you thinking on our scoreboard there, Tyler?
I'm going to give it a 5.
5?
Yeah, 4.9. I'll give it a 4.9.
And there I thought we were going to have our first exactly the same score. Actually, I think.
We've had a couple, but.
Because I was going with the straight up 5.
I'm going to go 4.9. It lets me down more than it builds me up. So thanks again to Texas Beverage and Package for... sponsoring this booze review.
We helping us appreciate it.
Being a vision guide through this budget bourbon.
You know, he's kind of helped us be a guide.
Oh, he's the vision guide. Bourbon. He's really helping us go through the spirit world.
He is the spirit walker.
The size of that fucking chicken. It's a Young Guns reference for those of you that aren't familiar with the show.
I wonder if that's his side job. He goes down south and takes people on vision quests.
You think he's running the ayahuasca retreats in South America, or...
Is it...
Or you think he's straight peyote? He doesn't look much like an Indian to me. Excuse me. He doesn't look much like a Native American to me. So I'm guessing he's not doing the peyote stuff. I'm betting he's not taking you on the other side of the moon. I'm guessing he's doing the ayahuasca.
Could be. Could be.
Shaman.
I can see.
Shaman Jared.
We're going to have to get him back up here and ask him about this. So, okay, I've got a question for you that maybe it'd be better if we waited for Jared to answer this, but I'm going to ask you. So, when you get something that's cask strength in something like this that's 87% alcohol, how do they go from that 114, 120 cask strength down to, I mean, even 100 proof bonded bourbon? Do they just water?
Well, yeah.
Do That's kind of what I thought, but I wasn't sure. I don't know, wouldn't know what else you'd add to it.
I don't know on the bottled and bond situation, but I know like on these 86ers, they normally just add water until it gets to where they want it.
I would guess that a bottled and bond situation is the same way, because that's...
Well, I didn't know if they had different rules on that.
Well, what else would you add to it?
Well, you wouldn't add anything. You would just distill it to a certain proof.
Oh, you think maybe they distill it to a certain proof and then put it in a cask?
I think that that is a possibility.
It very well could be. Once again, I think this is a question we will pose to Jared next time he's here.
Yeah, we can ask him.
But I think you did a good job answering it. All right, Tyler. I'm going to let you choose. Where do you want to go? Do you want to fuck
up the spirit world?
Or kill the day?
I want to go to the spirit world.
We'll talk to Jared about that next time he's here.
I guess let's kill the day. Because I'm super excited about my new song here. Hurricane picked this out for me.
All right. So what do you got, Tyler?
It's called Sister Golden Hair. And it's recorded not by America, like some old timers that listen to this might think, but by a young lady named Anna Ash.
Well, I keep on thinking about you, Sister Golden Hair Surprise. And I just can't live without you. Can't you see?
Very good rendition of that song.
It's a good song. And it's funny, I sent that to my mom a while back whenever I found it. And she preferred the America version.
I'm not surprised.
Which is fine. Which is fine. Yeah. She can be wrong. That's fine. I like this one. And I think that chick has a really cool voice.
She does. She does. She lets it go far enough at the beginning. You think, wow, this is going to be just a straight voice.
No, like, it's no music. Acapella.
But yeah, straight acapella. But no. Then the band comes in and it's a good version of that song.
It's a good band too. Yeah. They seem to have their shit under control.
Sounds like it.
Nice so. Little guitar through there. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. So what you got?
I got a song that we both first heard earlier today.
Yeah?
Hands That Bleed. By the Year of the Buffalo.
Like I'd always done before. These old lies I tell myself again. Now this time it just means more. Now this time it just means more.
That's a fun song.
I thought so.
I liked it today whenever we listened to it.
I liked it today when we listened to it just right now.
Okay.
I liked it both times.
Yeah, it's a good song. It's a good song. I'm not upset about that, Royce.
I'm glad. I'm glad you approved, Tyler.
Yeah.
That's why we do this.
Yeah. That is for my approval.
So I can feel validated through your approval.
I know. You look up to me. That's fine. You always wanted to be like me ever since you were a wee little lad.
I look up to you
because I was a slightly smaller wee little lad.
I have to look up to you because 90% of people have to look up to you.
Almost everybody looks up to me, and that's fine. I'm a big personality. I'm a good guy. People like me.
You are a big personality.
People like me.
Okay. Okay.
Don't be jelly, bro.
All right, let's roll into our next segment, Tyler.
What did you run into now?
Is that the new segment? What did you run into now? I feel like this is one of those watering things.
That's a pivot. That's a short pivot. Look at the wee little tires on it.
I can't tell if it's because it's so far away because you're halfway down the span.
No, that's a wee tire. It's not quite those like the
four-wheeler tires.
It's not quite the four-wheeler tire.
Yeah, like one of our neighbors has.
But it's like a pickup size tire.
It's not a very
because even tire. Look at that center drive. That's a little bitty guy.
It's a little bitty guy.
Oh. Boy, he did hit that sumbitch hard, too.
He knocked her over. Crumpled her.
And you know, here's the deal. Before we start speculating wildly, I'm going to just go ahead and warn you. I'm taking a page out of Papa's book on this one. I think some bitch just got tired and said, fuck this shit.
Jumped out?
No, just ran into it.
Oh. See, I'm wondering if he was so busy looking at his beautiful mountainous surroundings, or maybe there was a wolf in the field that he was looking at.
You know.
And just got distracted, didn't realize the pivot was there, and wham, bam, thank you, man. He knocks out his windshield, tips over his boss's pickup, or I mean his boss's pivot.
Hey, scroll out on that a little bit. Let's zoom out. What brand is that?
Massey Ferguson.
I don't see any like screens in there. I'm wondering if that had auto track.
There's a screen right there.
Is that a screen?
But I don't see a bubble. Unless that's the bubble right there. I'm guessing it runs off a Trimble.
Maybe. I still expect more antennae.
You would think. But I mean, this could just be the control screen, but we've seen you can run GPS through it.
That is true.
On good equipment.
That is true. I don't know.
Heck of a wreck.
I mean, he hit the sumbitch hard.
He really did hit it. I mean, which I've seen people, they haul ass in those swathers.
Well, because you can, and you need to.
But the window is surprisingly intact for as hard as he hit it.
Well, this tells us that good odds that his belly hurts because it caught the steering wheel and it stopped him.
Probably. And also, these bars?
Railings?
Railings. Probably saved his ass.
You think so?
Well, I don't know what else would have kept it from coming through that window and crumpling the cap.
Not the brakes.
I don't think you're going to stop it that fast if you hit it that hard to do that much damage.
Yeah. Not with that attitude.
So, yeah.
That's basically, he just had his head up his ass and he ran into it. I mean, there's not...
not a whole lot of speculation.
Because it's not like we can say the control stuck and he ran through it, because he didn't run through it. He just laid it over.
He ran into it. Just flat ass ran into it.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Very good.
Very good, sir.
All right. Tyler, what do you want to talk about?
I don't care. What are we talking about there?
I wanted to get your opinion on this piece. This is an article about crop production. And how 2023 looks like a tough year to control weeds, which is not what you want to hear after a year like what we had this year.
You gonna give me some deets on this, or am I just gonna look at this picture?
Fixing to. So what it is, it's saying that weed control was bad this year because of the drought, which we've already talked about in the past. And so now they are giving us five or a handful of recommendations on how to better be prepared to control weeds.
Number one, let's go.
Consider whether you can use a burn down application yet this fall. Is it too early or too late to burn down?
Yes.
Both?
Here, yes.
I would think so. I would think up north it would be, wouldn't it?
I don't know much about up north, so I try not to speculate on what they do. They might have some winter weeds.
Well, yeah.
But I don't know. I think it would also depend on the crop that you're trying to grow.
Both would be a very good justification.
Okay. Number two.
Harness a high-quality adjuvant surfactant.
Strongly recommend.
Okay. Why?
Surfactants and adjuvants do a lot more than what you think they do. Even on a year like this year, or a year like 2011, or a year, what was that, like 15 or 16, somewhere in there. It is amazing what a quality water conditioner and a quality surfactant can do to the exact same herbicide. I've had guys this year that they're like, well, you know, I've been running product A and product B, but they just cost through the nose and all my other products have gone up. So I'm gonna spray some like this, and then I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna find me some $20 90/10 or, you know, some $19 MSO or, you know, they're strip it down, see the cheapest shit that they can find. And then they come back and they're ordering and they order product A and product B again. It's like, well, what happened? It's like, well, I didn't fucking kill anything, so we're going back to it. It will improve the efficacy. That's why I am so very anti-bathtub surfactants.
Bazinga.
You know who you are.
All right, number three. And I would agree with all those points, Tyler, that you just made.
Well, you have to. They're right.
Evaluate herbicide carryover from 2022 before implementing your control plan next spring. Because dry conditions can extend the life of residual herbicides in soil. So, what do you think about that? You think we have an issue with that here?
I'm going to say that's not a big concern for us, because for the most part, we're already stretching it out as far as we can, because it's not like we get 30 inches of rain a year.
Well, and also, like, this is talking about, like, corn herbicides and edible crop herbicides. So,
well, even your cereal grains. I mean, like, you look at, I mean, that shit will last for a year and a half, two years. And you can't plant cotton behind it. But, like I said, for the most part, we're stretched so far out anyway.
Yeah.
That it just works into a rotation.
Okay.
Hey, can we turn the fan on?
Yeah.
It's a touch warm. I've dropped as many layers as you want me to.
That's fact.
But yeah, no, so I don't think you're going to have to worry so much about your residuals if you've been paying attention to your rotation. If you're considering switching up your rotation, then maybe we got something we need to look at. But that would be a case by case situation. Yeah.
Depends on what you sprayed, what you're thinking about planting.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time coming up with any of my customers that would really have to bear down and think about that. Just because of the available crops that we have.
Yeah. All right.
Now, if you were a 100% corn farmer and you're thinking about growing some cotton, well, yeah, we're going to have to look at some and stuff like that. But I don't think that's because of the conditions. I think that's just.
But you don't think there's anything that somebody would have sprayed planning to go back to corn already that they would have trouble planting cotton through? Oh, okay. I got you.
But that's not going to be weather moisture dependent. Like, yeah. If you've sprayed next year, probably not planting cotton next year. I mean, we can try it, but.
See how that works.
I don't have high hopes.
All right. Number four, consider how to work around Mother Nature. Because pre-emergence products commonly need a half inch of rain for activation or good soil moisture if incorporated. Remember to apply pre-products ahead of a rain, but no more than a week to 10 days before planting.
That also goes back to your surfactants. How long you can let them sit on top of the ground.
Yeah.
Most of my pre's I prefer to do behind the planter as opposed to in front of the planter.
Yeah.
For the simple fact of you're going to get it in there and then you can water it and it'll cover every bit of the acre and you don't have that bit that you screwed up with your trash whippers and your discs and all that. I mean, obviously we need moisture to run pre's.
Have to.
But
a lot of times you need the moisture to get your crop up around here.
Most of the time you do. And that's why I'm a big fan of starting spraying in like January, February, as opposed to March, April, May.
Yeah. Get it out there early.
Yes. And also you look at, if you believe some research that I've seen, your weeds start coming up about March 1st. So if you're spraying in March, you're already fucked up. Like, what's the point?
Let's just especially wait. If you're doing a pre-emerge that you're trying to keep the weeds from ever coming up.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. If a weed comes up before you sprayed anything, then you man, let's go home.
Just quit for the year, huh?
Might as well. You're not going to control those weeds.
Pack it up. Go
home. I would say 8 times out of 10, you're going to have weeds in that field all year if you have weeds up before you spray the first time.
Okay.
Because look at how weeds come up. You're going to have some that were a little bit closer to the surface, so they're going to come up first. Well, this weed down here that's already germinated and up, basically, but maybe just hasn't quite peaked out, by the time you spray that pre-emerge on there, it's too late. It's going to come through it.
Mm-hmm.
If you throw Roundup or Paraquat or something in with your pre-emerge, but you've got that one that was just right at or below the surface, you're not going to get any of that contact on there to kill it. So you're already fucked.
Good point.
Yeah. Do it for a living, man. Know what I'm talking about.
That's why I brought this stuff to you. That's why we're going through it with you.
Uh-huh. All right,
look at weed control options beyond herbicide use.
What are we talking about on this one?
That would be like tillage, changing your seed populations, planting a cover crop.
I think if they're talking about how low moisture you are, cover crops are probably going to be a little dicey around here.
It'll be a little problem.
You could probably make it work on irrigated. I've always been a big fan there.
Mm-hmm.
Dry land, I hate to burn through any moisture that we get, because you think about it, we tend to get a lot of snows in like February to the end of March.
Used to get a lot of snow.
Yeah, we still get snow. I mean, I didn't say a lot of snow. We get a lot of snows. Isn't it snows?
Okay.
So, if we get a half inch of snow or a half inch of moisture out of a snow into March, I hate to burn that on a cover crop.
Yeah.
Because we might not get any more till June.
We've seen it happen.
And we're just fucked.
Yeah, might be lucky if you get some in June.
Yeah.
But also tillage. I mean, you can do a little cultivating, a little hoeing.
Yeah.
Add some mechanical practices.
I am not against cultivation or hoeing at all. But I think that that's on a case-by-case basis.
Oh, definitely.
And which crop is, what it looks like, where we're standing. There's lots of situations to where I think that you're better off to run a sprayer with drops than you are to try to cultivate. Is what it is.
Yeah.
Field by field.
All right.
The main message of this is start clean, stay clean.
That is a good one.
Spray now so we don't have to spray later.
Good point, Tyler. Good point.
Mm-hmm. And also another thing on the surfactants. I think soil surfactants have become a bigger part of what people do in the last couple of years whenever they're just spraying pre-emerges, because people are starting to finally realize that, I mean, this shit costs a lot. If I can put this soil surfactant in there and keep it in the top couple inches of the soil and make it last longer and make those, you know, if I'm putting $20 out, let's get $20 for 3 weeks, not 10 days to 14 days.
Yeah, you say a week and a half to two.
Yeah.
Good point.
I try.
And sometimes you deliver.
I'd say a solid 2 out of 10.
I would think that's a sometimes situation.
So what else you got? Come on, you're driving this bus. You're the bass player this evening.
How do you feel about renewable fuels?
Renewable fuels? Mm-hmm. Like biofuels?
That would be renewable fuels.
What other renewable fuels are there?
Oh, it's just the RFS, renewable fuels.
Standard?
Standards, yeah.
I'm pretty poorly educated on this subject.
Well, I mean, you shouldn't be, because they help drive the corn market.
Well, I get biofuels, but I'm not entirely sure what all else you're considering as a renewable fuel.
Biomass-based diesel? Advanced biofuel? Cellulose biofuel? I don't know what any of those mean.
Okay, I know. Yeah, they're biofuels. I'm pro to a certain extent.
I still feel like you should be able to buy a non-biofuel fuel.
Yeah, you can in Pampa right now.
You can. It's nice.
Fucking expensive.
Yeah, but their diesel's 50% or 50 cents cheaper than anywhere else in town. Notice that today.
That's fascinating.
especially since when the price was going up, they let everybody buy about a quarter, I think.
I don't know. I didn't pay attention to the diesel market.
They were, for a long time, they were quite a bit higher than everybody else.
Yeah.
So, anyway, they've got new regulations in the work for the RFS. Apparently, they're going to do something about information for electric vehicles and how they're going to make them, I guess they're going to make them start generating electricity with biofuels. I don't know.
I think we're going to do that to a certain extent, but okay.
I mean, there's a lot of that happening in other countries.
Yeah.
With like cellulose and stuff like that. We have a good friend. I don't know if he's a friend of the podcast or not. We had never had him on here, but he used to work in that industry.
Right. I don't think he listens.
Maybe he should start.
He probably should. He probably should. Okay, Royce, I got a question for you.
All right, Tyler.
And I know that you're not going to know the answer to this. But I'm going to assume that since me and you already talked about it, you may ask the old lady about it. Since the 1940s, vegetables have decreased in nutrient density by 35%, fruits by 26%, meat by 32%, and cheese by 39%. During the same time period, our fertilizer use has increased by 3,000%.
My first question to you is, where are you getting your information?
I probably shouldn't say this name, so I'm not going to. Twitter.
Let's believe everything we put on Twitter.
Did I tell you I believed it whenever
no,
I sent it to you?
No,
but
I did.
No, so quit trying to make me out to be the bad guy here.
I feel like there's lots of people you read through those comments that did believe it.
That's true.
So I think we're going to go ahead and label this one a stupid social media post.
I'm just saying, these are pretty fucking precise.
I mean, he does get ripped apart in the
you know
comments
what it
by somebody.
Does remind me of, though?
What's that?
They say 82.4% of statistics are made up right there on the spot.
I thought it was 89%.
No. No. 62.3% of people believe them, whether they're accurate statistics or not.
I believe that was part of the song at one point.
That still is. It's Todd Snyder. Statisticians Blues. But anyway, I didn't know if you'd had a chance to ask the old lady about why the vegetables and fruits and meats and cheeses have declined.
You want to call her?
She won't fucking answer. She never does.
Try it.
She won't answer. She never does. And I'm tired of getting rejected, Royce. I'm tender-hearted. It can only be broken so many times.
You're married. You should not be on Tinder.
It says who?
I'm guessing your wife?
Nah, she's fine with it. She'd be fine with it. We're not going to call and ask her that either. But I don't know. I did think
that's
that the funniest comment, I'd already seen it whenever you sent it to me. Correlation, especially with zero external context, means absolutely nothing. And it shows the rise in autism and the rise of organic food sales, which I don't know how the fuck they got that. I mean, I'm guessing they just made these numbers up because those lines are like just spot perfect. The fuck on. And if those are accurate numbers, like I'm starting to think organic food might be a problem. We'll try to put that picture up on the old Facebook page so y'all, because it is fucking dead on.
Yeah.
Like it's too good.
But that was a very good post. But I mean, they never did say where they got their statistics from, even though they were asked several times. They just said, look further down in the comments, and you'd keep scrolling, and I never was able to get there.
Well, I got bored with it. I got about to that chart, and then I sent it to you, because I thought that would be something for us to talk about, which it is, apparently. But, you know, like, a cheese is 39% less nutrient dense. How does cheese get less nutrient dense?
Because
unless, of course, we were comparing the amount of processed, like, I love American cheese. I had American cheese on my hamburger tonight. You ask Hurricane what kind of cheese she wants on her sandwich, she says American, because I'm an American. And I love that. It's probably not the highest quality. It melts easily. Tastes great.
Not if you put it to a... Not if you try and use a lighter, it doesn't melt. Do you ever see him claim that? Because that's why it's not real cheese, because it won't melt.
Whatever. So if you account for the fact that there's more like processed cheese products than there are cheeses in the grocery store, then that number might be accurate. Well, I'll give you that one. If anything, I feel like we've made our food more nutrient dense.
I don't know about more nutrient dense. And I could almost...
You look at the research we've done with like the wheat and corn and stuff like that. I feel like they're becoming more nutrient dense.
What nutrients?
Generally protein.
That is a big one. But also, and I just looked back through there, and one of his arguments that he was trying to make was that with our current monocrop situation that we've got going on, that everybody likes to bitch about, that we're feeding the world with, everybody has moved to yield over nutrition. So they're going for highest yield over anything else.
I'm going to skip that one.
Because is the increase in fertilizer use the sole cause of this? No, hybrid varieties bred to favor yield over quality play a huge role. But that is that can't be true either, because quality is still a big benefit. You don't want to take a bunch of number three corn to the elevator because you're not going to get paid shit for it.
And so we're actually skipping over a pretty big part of this. Fertilizer use has increased by 3,000%.
I feel like that number's skewed some.
It's fucking wrong.
I feel like it has
3,000%?
Well, look at all the amount of more land that is being farmed and broke out.
Yeah, but...
And the amount of food we're growing now compared to the 1940s. The number of people that we're feeding.
Well, but okay, so here's my question. Is that on a per acre basis?
I'm guessing it is not on a per acre basis.
So is that only including ag fertilizer? Or is that including fertilizer that people put on their yards that once they wouldn't have done that because they didn't care? Because they didn't have the extra money.
On their personal gardens or on their flowers or on their children because they think it'll help them grow.
Well, fucking answer me.
I think it's all fertilizer sales total. And I still think that number is skewed, but I would see that fertilizer has increased a large amount.
If anything, it's decreased on a per acre
basis.
Acre of farm, like commercial farm ground, it has gone down.
I could see that. I'd see that. But I'm saying as a total overall pounds sold per year or tons sold per year.
I don't know.
I could see it being an overall increase.
I don't know. Tired of dickheads throwing shit on Twitter.
And it also doesn't say if this is U.S. or global. Because I could also see new markets.
Oh, you know that cocksucker's talking about the global market.
Because I could also see it increasing because more places there's fertilizer available to more places. Like all the forest that was burned down in the Amazon, for instance. They didn't need any fertilizer before. They probably do now.
Man, did you look at these guys' other tweets? He is fucking out there.
No, I didn't. Are you talking about the three that are on top now?
No, I'm talking about the rest of the tweets that he sent out there.
No, I hadn't. I didn't do any research on him.
Yeah, I might should have looked at this because he's... But hey, on the other side, he did show a deal about how glyphosate is going up and Crohn's and ulcerative colitis is going up. So apparently organic foods give us autism, But glyphosate gives us Crohn's and ulcerative colitis.
Didn't you know that? It's common knowledge.
I didn't either.
I'm just joking.
Also, I don't know that organic food's giving us autism. Find that hard to believe.
I mean, that graph makes it seem like it's definitely...
Well, it does. If I'm going to use that, I guess I can go with it. But I just want everybody to know that. So I'm not just pulling shit out of my ass. I don't need the organic people on my ass.
Hell, they never can agree on anything anyway.
I bet they could agree to sue my fucking ass.
Other than they're better than the way everybody else does something.
That's true. Okay, moving on. What else you got, Royce? Come on. Where are we stopping next? Drive the fucking bus. Or I'll drive it for you.
I think we need to make a phone call.
To who?
Somebody up north.
No, he's busy. How far north are you talking?
It's just a state or two away.
No, he's busy.
Canada?
He's got screaming kids in the background.
It is only 8 o'clock. It's not quite late enough for him yet.
Yeah.
Down south?
I don't have anybody down there. Give me a number. I didn't talk to him in a minute.
I don't know who else to call then. You've shot all mine down.
Well, you're supposed to... What are you doing?
Bourbon.
Okay, Royce. You fucked around, and now I'm driving the bus.
All right, go ahead.
Look at me. I'm the captain now.
Are you?
I'm the captain.
Are you?
12 days of Christmas.
12 days of Christmas.
Uh-huh.
What are we doing for 12 days of Christmas?
Well, that's what we're deciding right now as we speak.
Day one. A partridge in a pear tree.
No. That's lame. We're doing the farmer 12 days of Christmas. Come on.
A nice baby calf.
Okay, I'll go with that. A nice baby calf. On the second day of Christmas. See, I wasn't planning on doing this tonight, but you've kind of fucked around and made me take control, so this is going to be a little guffy.
You don't say.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. 2 channel locks.
3 10mm sockets.
Oh, wasted that one.
Should have gone for 10.
Or maybe 12. Everybody knows you can't keep those bastards. But, I mean, whatever you want to do. 4 wild rags.
5 pairs of wool socks.
Woolen socks. I like it. 6 screwdrivers.
7 axes chopping ice. That way maybe you got 6 buddies helping you chop ice.
That seems like a lot of axes.
Maybe you got a lot of water tanks to chop.
But I guess I can let that one go.
Probably should have done that on 3 and swapped the 10 millimeter wrenches, but
well, hey,
you
bud,
know we are where we are.
You're sure driving this fucking truck. At this point, I'm way confused. I'm trying to figure out if we're going useless things or useful things.
I feel like we've done all fairly useful. And that's why I said axes chopping.
8 bales of hay.
Oh, that's nice. That would be nice.
Yeah. You'd love anybody that gave you 8 bales of hay.
Especially with today's prices.
No shit.
God, that's like a fortune on its own.
We're going to go back through this list, so you'll have a chance to do some subbing and swapping. And
so we're at 10 now.
Perhaps replacing.
10.
No, we're at 9.
Oh, I thought you said, eight bales of hay.
I said 8 bales of hay.
9 bushels of corn. That's not much. It's not a lot.
Well, I can feel like I tell you, I'm pretty sure that one's going to come off the list here in a minute. 9 bushel of corn. Man, you're like...
9 bales of cotton to the acre.
No. No, you can't. I thought you were going to take this serious, Royce. I thought you were going to take it fucking serious. 10 gloves. That's okay. 5 pairs. Uh-huh. Perhaps you can find one of them.
Probably not. I'll have them lost by tomorrow.
I'm not surprised. Well, you take care of shit. Number 11.
Well, if anybody's seen my back seat, I'm going to go with 11 jackets or vests.
Okay. I still don't know that you're really grasping the...
You gotta have lots of spare jackets and vests.
Yeah, but I don't know if you're really grasping what we're going for here.
Apparently not, because I don't feel like that's a whole lot different than the 10 pairs of gloves.
I've got 12. I'm going to take the softball here. I'm going to go 12 beers.
Well, that's an easy one. Because who's not going to turn down a 12-pack?
Yeah, so we got 12 beers, 11 jackets, 10 gloves, 9 bushel of corn, 8 bales of hay, 7 axes, 6 screwdrivers, 5 woolen socks, 4 wild rags, 3 10-millimeter sockets, and 2 channel locks. And one nice baby calf.
Feel like you got to start out with an animal.
I'm fine. You could have added some more animals in there. So I'm going to take out your 9 bushel of corn.
Yeah, I feel like that.
Because you suck. And I'm going to go with 9 Angus cows.
But we've only got 8.
I quit. I'm done.
I finally did it.
I don't want to fucking play with you anymore.
I finally did it, guys. I broke him. He has been broken. You're welcome.
I come up here and I try so hard to put on a quality show for these people, and all you do is fuck off.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you have anything else that you want to swap on this list?
Well, I do appreciate you swapping the 9 bushels of corn.
Fucking.
You put me on the spot, bud.
Well, I put myself on the spot, too.
But you're looking at a list.
I'm making a list, dipshit.
Are you checking it twice?
That's what we're doing now, because Lord knows you fucked it up the first time. Nothing on there that you think is wanton, wasteful, stupid.
I feel like everything else was fairly decent.
7 axes.
Axes chopping. Axes chopping. You've got to add the axes chopping. Because if you remember in the song, some of the things are active.
Okay. Well,
the axes only work if they're chopping.
I'll send you this list. You publish it to the fucking Facebook page, and we'll see what our people think about your half-ass attempt.
They're going to think absolutely nothing because nobody but Rex participates.
But by God, whenever he does, he does. And I bet you he's going to shut your half the list down.
And we appreciate you for that, Rex.
He is going to destroy your half the list. Should have bothered him in the first place.
Should have.
I know he's busy, but I'm not too proud to call him.
Never have been in the past.
Okay, what else you got to talk about?
So how do you feel about the new labor bill that prevented the rail strike?
I'll be honest with you, I've been a little busy. I haven't had a chance to read it.
Me neither. I just saw that it happened, so I thought maybe you knew something about it, but I don't either. But apparently they stopped another rail strike.
Are you just trying to make me mad? At this point, I feel like you're trying. You're actively trying to piss me off.
Is it working?
Yes, it is. Like, for the last several weeks, we've come up here, and I've had a list of shit on my phone I was ready to talk about. And I've told you, I've got shit I'm prepared to talk about. You're over here pulling shit out of your ass, and you're just, like, reading headlines, like, hey, what do you think about this? It's like, well, I don't know. Tell me a little bit about it. I don't know. Fuck, I didn't read it.
Now, the first one I actually did put some effort into.
Okay, 1 out of 5. Woo!
I think we're up to 3.
I did not mean to hit the applause button there.
I didn't figure. You done?
Apparently we're all done, Royce.
I thought you would find that more funny than what you did, apparently.
Nope.
starting to think you're actually mad.
I am getting that way.
So in other news, the Penelope Architect is still fantastic whiskey.
In more relevant news, Hadley Freeman is still the winner of our Guess the Dry Land Yield Contest.
Yeah. No, he's still on
running
top.
The fuck away from it.
He really is. So good job, Hadley.
Yeah.
We can count on you to listen.
Can we?
I feel like this was a bad time to say that.
I don't know. But I bet you even whenever he gets his old lady hemmed up in the bedroom, I bet them episodes with he's on. He's pulling the old Robin Scherbatsky. Listening to himself. Going, fuck, I'm good.
He just needs a little confidence booster.
Oh, apparently. Do you have anything that you learned at the farm show that you would like to talk about? Because the farm show was this week.
The farm show was a little slow.
Was it slow? Is slow the right word there? I mean, I wouldn't say slow. I would have said maybe a touch small.
Okay. Okay.
But I feel like there was plenty of people there. So slow, the I don't crowd, know if the word.
The crowd was very good. That's probably the best crowd I've seen, which I hadn't been in 3 or 4 years because didn't have it for, what, 2 years there?
One.
They only skip one. But I hadn't been, I think, a year before that and a year after that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but even back before that, the last time I did go, the crowd seemed to be dwindling, and so did the exhibitors. Would you call them exhibitors? The booths?
They are exhibitors, yes. Yeah. They are exhibiting their products and companies and portfolios.
So, but really, the overall ag products there, I thought maybe, like you, they had ticked back up a bit.
Yeah, there's a lot less bullshit there this year.
Yeah.
And last year. Last year, for sure, there was a lot less bullshit and a lot more ag people.
Which there was still plenty of bullshit there.
You know, it wasn't near as bad as in 18 or 19, something like that, where like every other booth was about fucking hemp and hemp products.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. I didn't
see a lot less CBD. Didn't see any CBD.
Not see any CBD. There was one aisle.
It's almost like the great hemp awakening didn't quite take off in the Texas Panhandle.
Okay. I feel like the number of stores still selling it.
Yeah, but you know, they were all real proud that they were going to have so much hemp grown in the Texas Panhandle. I know like two people.
You know, I was hit up about it this spring, about maybe growing some hemp, but this was industrial hemp.
Why didn't you do it?
Never heard from them again.
Yeah, they probably went out of business.
They might have, but by God, when we were talking to them, they had backers, and man, they were going full bore. There was a guaranteed thing that the plant was going in. And I hadn't heard back from him.
Well, you know,
so
these things happen.
On the hemp. But back to the farm show. Trying to think of something I learned. Stuff is expensive still.
That's accurate. Dart guns, surprisingly reasonably priced.
I felt like they were too. Everybody ought to go out and buy two or three.
Dart guns and 360-mile fence chargers.
Yeah. Once again, in typical farm show fashion, you should just wait and go Thursday because you can't buy anything.
Well,
there.
But the problem is there's a lot of people that pack up Wednesday night. A lot of people that start packing up as soon as they get there on Thursday. It's a crapshoot to go on Thursday.
But you're more
Thursday afternoon, like there is absolutely no fucking point. Don't even bother.
Yeah, but you got to get there before noon on Thursday for sure.
For sure.
But you're going to get to buy stuff or more stuff for cheaper.
Yeah, because they don't want to pack it out. Yeah. I've got a booth. I understand.
Exactly. I mean, and like the fence chargers, for example, Wednesday we were there. Made a pass at the guy getting to buy one. He told me, no, they were only for display. Who walked up yesterday and bought one? My father. Because the guy said, I'm going to be here for another 30 minutes. I don't want to take this thing home. That's why he got a, what, would you say 36-mile or 360-mile fence charger?
Oh, he didn't get the big one. No. I think that one's only rated for about 200 miles.
It's a lot of miles. I don't know how you would find that much hot wire fence to charge. Unless you're
so here's the deal. We all know that rating is actually bullshit.
Yeah.
Because like the OG 10-mile chargers, they're good for about 4 or 5. But still, even if you cut the number in half, a 360-mile charger is good for 155 miles.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to kill shit.
That's a large area.
Poor little baby's just out there trying to eat some wheat. Get a little distracted. Brush up against it.
Accidentally walk into it. Or the even worse, their asshole friends push them into it.
Yeah.
Like, it's want to happen.
You know, that's one of those that whenever they start getting a little woolly and they can just learn that they can just kind of duck their head and run up underneath it. Fuck no.
No, sir.
It's going to look like that scene in Lonesome Dove whenever the lightning hits and it goes through all their horns and it kills half the herd.
I feel like even if it turns off dry and nothing's making a good ground, that charger is still going to make a good ground because is going to find ground for a quarter mile.
No doubt. Which I did hear a funny story about this guy. I don't remember where I saw this at, or maybe somebody was saying. Anyway, neither here nor there. This guy was having trouble with his calves getting out of hot wire. So he turned his pivot on. And it wasn't, they weren't getting out. They were getting up to his pivot. He had gone around his pivot and they were chewing the nozzles off of it. And he's madder than shit about it because he'd spent the time to fence around it.
Yeah.
So he just turned the pivot on for about a day. Didn't move it. Just turned a well on. And it was like to where they walk up to it and their feet are sinking. And they're thinking, oh, I'm going to go over there and chew on that regulator. Fuck you are. Because you is good and grounded. And you are getting fried.
That's
I don't know if he had those 360-mile chargers like y'all are buying. But
I feel like when your feet are that wet, but you can use a half-mile charger and get your point across.
Yes, and I think he did. Because they were saying, like, you walk up and it was throwing sparks. And
you know, I never thought about doing that, but that's a good idea.
If it gets too dry, just turn well on. I don't know if I'd do it for a day.
Maybe a half a day.
Well, like maybe, yeah, you show up in the morning, turn like well six on.
Hours. You go home for lunch, you turn it back off.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Somewhere in there. Like you've got 6 hours before lunch.
4 hours.
Well, you work. You're lucky to have three. Unless you started taking late lunch breaks.
Some days.
But anyway, I thought that was a funny story.
That is a good story. I thought you were going to go with the story about the guy who's transformer fried and fried the charger and...
No, those are sad stories.
That is a sad story.
Those are sad stories.
Yeah, that one.
That's never good. I don't want dead babies. I just want respectful babies.
Teach them bitches where their boundaries are.
Yeah.
No, I hear you.
And that's always a fun part whenever you're trying to teach weaned calves about hot wire and you string a little strand out in the pen where they have to go around it to get to water and they're like, what the fuck is that? George, you feel that?
Come up here and lick this.
Always fun to watch for a little bit.
It is, just like when you turn them out the first time.
Yeah.
And you figure out the ones that...
It's easier to watch in the pen.
Didn't learn the lesson in the pen. So, good times.
Yeah.
Good times. I had something. What was I going to say? I forgot now.
Shocker. I don't think you ever had it.
No, it's all fake.
It's about farm show stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Is it about cheap dart guns? Was it about not-so-cheap silencers for shotguns?
You know, I wasn't surprised that shotgun silencer was that expensive.
I was surprised it was that ineffective and the guy told us as much.
I was not surprised it was that ineffective. I was surprised the guy told us that.
If he told us it was that shitty, like, I'm really curious how shitty it is. Like, I damn near bought one. Maybe that's his game. Maybe he's like, I'm gonna get these fuckers.
I kind of want to try one now just to find out, but... I still don't see how all that baffling in there is going to keep the shotgun, like how the shotgun is, shells are not going to blast it by spreading out while they're in that baffling.
Okay, so that tube, that wad is tight enough and that tube through the middle of the silencer is tight enough, that wad shouldn't expand.
Wind's picking up again.
Damn. It
sounded like a freight train coming through.
We about to get hit by a tornado?
I'm fixing to check the radar. It has been known to happen up here in the crow's nest.
Well, just the once. What the hell is that noise?
It's the window. The wind shifted. It's out of the north now. I didn't realize it was supposed to shift like that.
Well, we're not going to be up here longer if that's going to be squealing like that.
No, I don't want to rate your fucking app right now. Just tell me what.
Don't you fucking hate that? You're just trying to do something in a rush and they take that time. It's like, tell us how we're doing. It's like, not very fucking good at the moment.
And they're going to make me actually give them a reason. Oh, no, it finally went away. There's nothing on the radar. I feel like the wind is more than 9 miles from the west-northwest.
And as quickly as it came, it has stopped.
Thank God.
Yup.
The folks might have got shorted on their podcast tonight.
At this point, Royce, I think they'd be happy to be done with us.
You think?
Maybe not us.
I don't know. It depends on
how
many.
I think they would be happy to be done with one of us.
With you?
No.
And your sour grapes attitude.
No, it's not me and my... It's me and my professionalism that's carrying this son of a bitch.
You and your sour grapes attitude.
Oh, you're killing me. Killing me.
And you just keep setting me up.
Right. I'm not even going to fucking edit this one. I'm just going to turn it loose. If I've got to listen to it, they've got to listen to it. Sorry, guys. You start paying me to do this and we'll start caring something. Apparently that's Royce's philosophy.
A little bit. I mean, I was actually busy today.
Which point?
You told me you were not.
Okay, Royce, let's tell the folks at home exactly what it was that you were doing that took so much intense focus that you couldn't think of anything that you wanted to talk about tonight.
This afternoon, I was building fence.
Well, yeah, you got to be real focused on that one.
You do. Otherwise, you hit your hand like we talked about earlier. Sometimes on accident, Tyler.
That's right. So you stop at a post, you hit it 15 times, 10 to 15 times, and then
depending
you walk
on how hard the ground
for
is.
20 steps. So what do you think about in that 20 steps?
1 foot in front of the other. Don't you?
No, I normally just walk.
Oh. Well, what do you think about? This would be a good topic. What do you think about, Tyler?
I normally just count my steps and then hit the next post. I don't think about shit. But I also don't wear AirPods.
Okay.
One Among Us does.
And how does that change things?
Because that means you had time to occupy your time with music and not think about the show.
I was not listening to music today.
What were you listening to?
Real Dictators.
Another well, tell podcast. Us about some fucking dictators.
I listened to the Robert Mugabe story.
I don't even know who that is.
He's the one that went or turned Rhodesia into Zimbabwe. Real asshole.
And you can say the one, whatever you want to do. Tell me about it. How did he do it? How did he get amongst it?
He turned it socialism. He got elected to be prime minister and then said, you know what, guys, I'm going to be your last prime minister, and made himself a dictator. Not entirely sure how that one went down, but he made it happen.
Never heard about Hitler. That's pretty much what he did.
Yeah, I know. But I still don't understand how...
You ever heard of this guy called...
Mussolini?
Fidel Castro? More or less what he did.
I mean, that's what a bunch of dictators do.
Pretty much all of them.
But
that's kind of what dictators do.
How,
they don't always go through socialism.
But how they
do it... But a good chunk of the time, they go through socialism.
How they do it, just it's still...
One good example would be Julius Caesar. Do you know how he came to power?
Because he was an amazing general and they handed him power and he just never handed it back.
Do you know why they handed him power?
Because they were under attack. Was it... It was the... who was it? I have heard this one. Mine went blank. The guys from Africa.
The Persians?
Was it? It wasn't the Persians.
No, but I'm trying to think who you'd be talking about from Africa.
From Northern Africa. The
Egyptians?
No, the guy that brought the elephants over. Hannibal. Not Hannibal Lecter that ate people.
I don't think it was Hannibal.
But he did fight Hannibal.
You are correct there. But I don't think that's why he was given power.
That's what I was saying. It was him because he attacked the first time, but... Did you know he deleted that people from the face of the earth? Just genocided them.
Wait, what?
Hannibal's people. He went to Africa and just said, you are no more. Deleted their culture.
That's not uncommon for that time period.
No, it's not. But I mean, it's just... Apparently it was a fairly large culture. And just wiped it off the earth.
Yeah, okay.
So, your interesting Julius Caesar fact. So who was it that was attacking Rome that they gave Julius Caesar power?
I don't know, man. I'm seeing what you knew. I knew that he got power under because they went to war and then he never gave it back.
Yeah, because he brought his arm and they tried to take
power. And then Brutus and the boys took him out of power.
Yeah. Well, after he had a big fight with Marcus Antony and
it's still Brutus and the boys that took care of it.
You too, Brute?
E tu, Brute?
E tu, Brute.
If you're going to say it.
I guess I should say it completely
like
in Latin.
All or nothing. I feel like you should probably.
Not just every other word.
Like if you want to say you too, Brutus, that's cool too.
But don't do every other word
in Latin. I don't like that.
It's kind of like pig Latin, huh? Just a bastardized.
Do you know language. How to speak pig Latin?
No. Do you?
I mean, I know the principles, but I'm not very good at it. Probably would be best if I started speaking in pig Latin, because I have to think very hard about every word that comes out of my mouth. And so that would probably save me some embarrassment.
Is pig
especially
Latin
at certain times such as this.
So speaking of pig Latin, is that still real big in the schools nowadays?
See, I don't remember speaking pig Latin in like the first grade, and that is about as much knowledge as I have.
Well, see, I couldn't remember what grade it got big in, but I was thinking your daughter's coming up to that age, so you
probably.
Might
but
practicing.
I was thinking more like that right before junior high time period, say third, fourth, fifth grade.
Yeah, that's what I was fixing.
Fourth, fifth, sixth, somewhere in there.
I can see that.
Hurricane got 100 on both her spelling test and her math test today.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, shouldn't be. Kid's fucking sharp as shit.
She ought to be.
Just like her old man.
There you go. Take that genetic credit and run with it.
Tallest kid in her class, too.
Also,
so,
not surprised.
Yeah, I'm going to have to run with that.
Not surprised.
So what else you want to talk about? What the fuck, guys?
Who's blowing that phone up?
I don't know.
How about Patrick's phone getting blown up at the farm show the other day?
You know what? That's... Last week, we talked about Snapchat hookers.
That's what I was thinking right there.
And this week, we're going to talk about the spam telemarketers. Because those motherfuckers are out the fuck of control.
It's awful.
43 missed calls between 10:30 and 12:30. 12.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. Roughly 2 hours. 43 fucking phone calls.
And I feel bad about my... 7 or 8 a day I get sometimes.
Yeah, there's days you get so fucking many.
And there's some days.
I get a bunch. I don't get near as many as you.
I know, right?
Every time I'm in the pickup with you, it's like we can go to Groom to the liquor store, Texas Beverage and Package. Next thing I know, we got 14 fucking phone calls.
It's hardly ever 14, but it's 2 or 3. They call back to back. Like I get just groups of them. And I'll hang up on one and the same one will call me back. And then they're shocked when I'm pissy with them.
I don't know. I heard a story the other day. A guy said he got one at 7 o'clock in the morning. And he just said, what time is it where you are at? And he just, I heard that you wanted to update your Medicare. What fucking time is it where you are at? It's like, oh, sir, I'm sorry. I just thought, no, tell me, what fucking time is it where you're at? And then they hung up on him.
Yeah.
I'm really curious now what time it was. Where that guy was at.
I don't know what the time difference between here and India is, but that's where a lot of mine are coming from.
I don't get that many from India.
Seems like a surprising amount. Or mine are Steve, but...
Steve from Utah? I didn't realize there was a Utah outside of Bangladesh, but...
I didn't either, but that is straight up where it sounds like he's calling from.
You know, I remember... Oh, so that's kind of a segue into this deal here. I was working on a laptop one time, and I can't remember what exactly happened. Something went wrong, and I had to call tech support. And I'm talking to this guy, and he was in India. And so we're talking, because I had to let something download, and this was back in mid-2000s, something like that.
Yeah.
And so we just got to visiting. He's like, so where are you at? I said, I'm in Texas. Where are you at? And he told me, and it was somewhere in India. And he said, so, like, what time is it there? And I told him. He said, what's the weather like? And I told him, and he told me. And we had a really good conversation about that. That is the only fucking time I've been happy to talk to somebody in another fucking country. Because that guy spoke such good English, and he was so fucking helpful. And then he just chit-chatted a little bit, and, you know, we broke some barriers.
Yeah.
And that. Little did I know.
Just a few years down Little did the
I
row. Know.
17 years later, if I hear somebody talking to me from what I assume to be that country, I am just instantly mad as fuck.
Doesn't it just piss you off? Because the other part is, how many people are they fooling? Because they're calling from local numbers.
Well, you know, that's like another deal. A person that we both know, his mom got a call that she needed to pay the IRS $5,000, and she had to pay it in the Green Dot gift cards that you buy at Target.
Yeah.
So she goes to Target to buy these fucking gift cards. And she's got all these, and she's like maxing them out. Because, you know, you can only put, what, $500 something on there?
$500,000.
And so this lady's checking her out, and she looks, and she does the first one, and she sees what else she's got. She says, are you like Christmas shopping for your kids, your grandkids, something? She said, well, no, I owe the IRS some money. And I need to get these cards so I can mail them to them and be done with it. And the girl sat there for a minute. She said, ma'am, I'm pretty sure you're getting scammed. Like, the IRS doesn't take Green Dot gift cards.
Yeah.
And so what's funny is she tells her one son, and she said, well, don't tell him. He's going to be madder than hell. The one son automatically, because he thinks it's funny, he calls his brother, and he's like, hey, check out mom's dumbass. And so he calls, and he's yelling at her. This is why I told him not to tell you, because you were just going to yell at me and feel even dumber than I would anyways. Well, he made her take him to Target and find the girl that was working the counter so that he could thank her for looking out for his mom.
Such a sweet asshole story.
But, you know.
No, I get it. I get it.
I mean, I might not have done that, but...
Might not have gone quite that
I would far, have been very appreciative of the young lady yes. that told my mother, hey, the IRS ain't taking gift cards all of a
Thank
sudden.
Thank you for people like that.
Because yeah. she had the email printed out, because she's an old person, and she showed it to the girl, and I think it said something about Green Dot gift cards and or Texas Roadhouse cards or some shit like that.
I think I've had one that
and it's like, what are you going to pay for the Christmas party if you can't find these other gift cards?
I've had them before, because sometimes, you know, I'm on a combine. I like to screw with people. So I'll string them along for a while. And they're like, yes, you need to go to your local store and get Apple gift cards.
Apple gift cards. Apple that's gift what cards. The government needs.
Yep, that's how we're paying with it, is Apple Bucks. Oh.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with people?
Yeah, like, how do they think that's actually working? Or, like, just give me your credit card information. Give me your Social Security card. You don't know who I am. I'm calling from a local number that is definitely not my own.
Yeah. I don't get it.
I don't either, but sometimes they're fun to screw with.
I used to enjoy screwing with them, but anymore I'm just like, you know, what the fuck this?
Yeah.
Like, this is terrible. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want you to call me. I don't want to fuck with you.
It's very few days.
There
anymore.
Is one group of people that call me and they sell tools. Okay. And I know they're really down around Lubbock. They will call me about every 3 to 6 months.
Okay.
And they've always got some special. They're always changing warehouses, ready to move on. One day, me and two people that I work with had a lot of fun with them, because I got them and I said, hey, you know who you need to call? I don't buy tools. You need to call this guy. And I gave him his phone number. Well, he got the call, and he said, oh, and I didn't even talk to him in the meantime. He said, oh, no, I don't buy tools. You need to call this guy, and he gave him his number. This guy said, Whoa. I don't buy the tools at our office. You need to call this guy over here. I gave him my phone number. And I answered the phone, and it was a girl that was talking to us. And I was like, didn't I tell you needed to call this person? She's like, well, yeah, but they told me to call him, and he told me to call. What the fuck? And I was like, oh, I must have gave you, I don't know, call this number and tell him to quit jacking with you. He can do it. And so she made the loop again. And finally said, you know, fuck you guys.
That's all I
wanted.
So
this went on for like 3 hours.
3 hours.
Then we started calling her. It's like, hey, wonder if you'd be interested in buying some tools that we just got at a super cheap deal. There was this place that was going out of business. They were closing warehouse. They needed to get everything out of the warehouse, and it was easier to sell it than it was to move it to the new one. What do you say? And she's like, wait, no, that's my job. I sell the tools.
That's back when you would actually get a real number from somebody.
Yeah.
Instead of all these spam numbers.
We're probably the reason that they use the spam numbers now.
Probably. Probably so. But you feel bad because, you know, when it first started, you would get a missed call. You would call the number back. And it'd be some old lady in Pampa, and she'd be like, yes, sir, what can I do for you? And I'm like,
send me some green dot cards. Ma'am. The IRS is looking for you.
I think you called me. And she goes, no. No, I never called this number. And you're like, I actually believe this one. And then the next day, she calls you back, but it's some India guy.
Ignorance? Is that you?
I thought we talked about this yesterday, ma'am.
I just fucking told you I didn't want to buy your shit.
So this really took a turn.
I'm just glad it finally picked up, Royce.
You and me both. You gotta let it happen organically, Tyler.
Let's get out of this fucking shit show.
All right. You going first or am I going first?
You can go for it first.
All right. I feel like you're going to get this one pretty quick. What do the 100 folds in a chef's hat represent?
The 100 ways to cook an egg.
I told you would get that.
Everybody
one.
Fucking knows that. Oh, shit. No. I just thought of something I need to look up.
For the podcast?
For this question.
Oh. I'm kind of worried.
Can you tell me the 8 different names for French toast commonly used throughout the world?
Other than French toast?
French toast is not one of them.
No, I don't
believe
that.
So technically, I guess there's 9.
One would think, just by the question, breaded bread?
No.
Fried bread?
No.
I don't know. I don't. We don't know any of them.
Really? You don't know any of them?
Not that I can think of.
I'm going to tell you one.
Okay.
And we'll see if it...
If it sparks anything?
Sparks memory.
Okay.
German toast.
English toast?
No.
Norwegian toast?
No. You're going down this way wrong. But actually, you're kind of close. Kind of close.
Finnish toast?
Nope. Going the wrong way. Need to head south.
Italian toast. Too far?
I think.
Denmark toast.
No, that's way too far north.
It's right north of Germany. It can't be way too far north. Belgian toast.
No, they make waffles, not toast.
Portuguese toast.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what they call it in England.
Okay.
Eggy bread.
I always thought that was kind of like one of those bird's nest deals.
That's toad in the hole.
Ah, you're right. That is toad in the hole.
Eggy bread. That's what Gordon Ramsay calls it. It's the only reason I knew that.
Okay, so we've got eggy.
Because I knew this the other day because I knew that, and I thought, I wonder what the fuck everybody else calls it. And so I went down this rabbit hole. So we got German toast, we got eggy bread. French fried bread.
Okay.
Which makes me wonder if I'm making French fries wrong.
Have you fried French toast?
Like in bacon grease?
Yes.
That's normally how I make it.
Sometimes I just cook it on a hot skillet with butter.
No, I prefer the bacon grease.
The bacon grease is better.
Yeah.
It is.
And I always have bacon grease in the...
Well, I mean, you cook bacon because you got to eat bacon with French toast, but yeah.
Well, you don't have to, but I always keep bacon grease in my fridge in a coffee cup, so...
I like to have a protein with my breakfast in the morning.
A lot of times, if I'm just cooking it for a hurricane, I'll just make French toast.
I can
especially
see that.
Like on school mornings. Not a lot of time. Gypsy toast.
Okay.
Poor Knights of Windsor. Didn't expect you to get that one.
that one and German toast were... Actually, all of these are a no-go.
So, the one I was thinking you might get is Spanish toast.
That's where I was going after Portugal, but I mean, you kind of shut me down.
Well, I got tired of it because it's like we were going from way northern to south to further south, even though I told you to go north. I don't know why you guessed Portugal after I told you to go north between Italy and Sweden. And you were going to guess Portugal?
I'm just guessing European countries.
You weren't fucking paying attention. Nun's toast and... Pain perdu.
Pain perdu.
Which means lost bread in French.
I think I'm going to start calling it that.
That's what the French call it.
Pain perdu.
Yeah.
Okay. Tyler, I appreciate it. Learned something new today. Actually, 8 things new today.
Lord knows nothing. Nobody learned anything with your fucking bullshit question.
Probably not.
How many ways can you cook an egg?
Not 100, I can tell you that. How many ways can you cook an egg? I'm going to guess. If I had to guess, I'm going to say I could do 8 to 9.
Okay, so I can poach an egg?
Yep. Got that one.
So are we going fried egg or are we going like...
Fried's got to be one of them.
Well, is it fried or is it over easy, sunny side up, over medium, over hard?
Oh, I didn't think
see what I'm
that.
Saying? So if you do it like that, it really beefs the stats.
You got to. I think you got to count them. I think you got to count them. So I'm up to like maybe 50. No, I may still only be so up to like 9 or 10.
Count all the variations of
fried eggs.
That gets me up to 7. What'd I start with? Poached?
Yep. Poached, over easy.
Over medium. Over hard. Soft. Sunny side up.
I think that's all the fried eggs.
Oh, there's another one. It's below over easy. But I can't remember what it's called. It's to where the white is not quite set, but it's cooked.
Okay. All right. I'll count that one.
It's fucking terrible. Don't try it.
It sounds... I like my white to be set, but I like my yolk to be runny.
Yeah. Soft boiled, medium boiled, hard boiled.
Okay, so there's 10.
There's 10.
You got an omelet?
I don't think an omelet's going to count.
An omelet's got to count.
Well, would that not be just another variation of scrambled? Well, we already counted. We're going variations.
Yeah, no, I mean, because...
So, okay, omelets, so if that's what we're going to do here. So
it's a different scramble.
If that's how you're going to do it. You've got scrambled, soft omelet, fluffy omelet, French omelet. I think that's all the kinds of omelets.
Would you count a stuffed omelet? Like an American style omelet?
I don't think so, because a French omelet can be... No, a French omelet's not stuffed, but a fluffy omelet can be stuffed.
Okay. Although sometimes they do put like some kind of cheese in a French omelet.
Well, okay, but it's not stuffed.
Yeah.
It's in it.
Yes.
And then rolled. It's not like you set the egg, put the stuff in, and then fold it.
Flip it, yeah.
That's why I'm going not stuffed.
Okay.
More of a loaded omelet.
So we're at 15 now.
Baked.
Okay, 16. Would you count an egg yolk ravioli is the way to cook an egg?
I don't think so, because that's part of an egg. Because we're going to do that, we've got to count an egg white omelet.
I think you would count it too.
I don't know if you would.
I think you have to get to 100. Because we're only to 17 and we're out. Struggling.
We're struggling for sure. But we struggled before.
You looking it up?
Yeah.
All right. Have you ever cooked a French omelet?
Yeah, I cook them all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Never been able to get it down.
That's not hard. Low heat.
Yeah, I've tried that.
Well, because you start to get it cooked and you don't fuck with it. And then you stir it just a little bit, but you can't break it. You got to be very gentle whenever you stir it. And then you throw your meat or your cheese or your onions or whatever you're going to throw in there. And then you stir it a little bit more. And then you cook it until it's done on top. It works a lot easier if you throw it in a hot oven.
See,
that way it cooks from the bottom down. Or if you put a lid on the skillet, that also helps because it steams the top. And then you pull it off the heat. You let it set for about 30 seconds to a minute. You scrape around the edge. And you get that first side folded.
That is,
and then you tilt
not
the pan
at all
and kind of
how Yucky Pippin does it.
I don't know who the fuck that is.
I probably pronounced his name wrong, but big French chef.
So on this one, we've got asparagus quiche. That seems like a...
Okay, so we're counting quiches.
Asparagus. Oh, if we're going to do that, you also got to count the Italian version of a quiche. Not a quiche, but it's like an Italian omelet, frittata.
Okay. I would agree with that one.
Asparagus cheese omelet, buttercrumbed eggs, béarnaise sauce, vinaigrette.
Vinaigrette?
Carbonara.
Okay.
Moose.
I mean, eggs
liver.
Are definitely...
Well, fuck this list.
It's just like the 100 recipes, or 100 something recipes eggs are used in.
That's, yeah. Figured that out, bud. I don't know. I guess we'll never know. If you can think of a way to cook an egg that we haven't previously mentioned, let us know. Also, check out all of our great sponsors. We've got the Livestock Podcast. We've got Mo Cattle Company.
We've got
which
Meat Club
currently
Lens.
Has something for sale. Meat Club Lens.
We do have something
which
for sale.
Also, probably has something for sale if you call them. Check them out on Facebook. I'm pretty sure they have a Facebook page. And we've got Texas Beverage and Package. They are having a 10% off on all of the, I think there were 7 bourbons that I posted on the Facebook group yesterday.
Were there 7?
6 or 7. Somewhere
there
in
were
there.
Several. Of their new ones?
All of those are 10% off all month. Go in there, check them out.
We did sample
super friendly
new one
in there
today that we didn't try on the podcast, but
so good. So good.
Delightful.
So all y'all go out there, check them out, see what's up. Have a great week. See you, love you, bye.
Y'all stay safe. Adios.